Last week, Salt River Tribal Police Officer Clayton Townsend was killed when a driver who later admitted to texting while driving veered over two lanes and killed Townsend during a routine traffic stop. Arizona is one of three states without a texting while driving ban. Last year, the legislature passed a law regarding teen drivers, prohibiting them from texting or cell phone use for the first 6 months of driving. At the time, Governor Ducey said via statement, quote, "I'm skeptical of large-scale bans on texting while driving. I just don't think they work," end quote. So are texting while driving laws effective? For more, I'm joined via Skype by Toni Rudisill of West Virginia University, where she studies public health and focuses on traffic safety policies. Toni, can you make a blanket assessment as to whether or not these texting while driving bans are effective?
Well, it's a little bit more challenging than just doing a blanket statement, and I'm a little bit reticent to say one way or another, because one thing I have to preface this with is sometimes it's really hard to tell or say whether a law is effective or not effective. And it's also in how you look at it. It's how do you quantify, you know, behavior? Are you looking at your outcome as what somebody's self-reporting that they do? Is it something that you're watching them do? Or are you looking at an outcome such as number of crashes, number of injurious crashes, or, you know, even more severe, fatal crashes? It's how do you want to quantify effectiveness, or how do you want to say that?
We all sort of get frustrated on a daily basis. Obviously, there was a tragedy here in Arizona just last week with an officer losing his life as someone was texting and driving. Is this something that, based on what you're seeing, there is more momentum to crack down on this?
You know, there was a lot of momentum from states, you know, that, you know, distracted driving, it is a huge problem, and it's everywhere, and it affects all age ranges. And when we started looking at, you know, we were curious more and, okay, well, how does that affect behavior? And so we started looking at, you know, looking at fatal crashes, looking at what people said that they did, but we often know that's not what they do. And we also used some data from the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration to look at observed drivers when they would watch drivers at, you know, certain intersections, whether they were on the phone or not. We were curious because we're like, well, how many people actually get cited for this? Mm-hmm. And so that was sort of the research train that we started going down, is to start, you know, maybe requesting citation data and looking at, okay, well, who gets cited for what? We found from that research that of all the states that we were able to obtain usable data from, many of them were citing for handheld cell phone use under the handheld bans.
Obviously, when there are laws, that has to go hand in hand with enforcement.
Are there barriers to enforcement? Was there a reason why certain bans seem to be enforced at least more than others? And from the officers that participated in our study, I can say in their opinion, yes, they definitely do face some challenges. Being an officer is a, you know, it's a challenging line of work. If you think about all the laws on the books, everything, you know, they have a lot on their plate. So there are times where they might see a distracted driver. They might want to pull that person over, but they might be responding to some other call and that they can't.
So human behavior is a weird thing. Many people just try to get away with what they can get away with. Once a state puts in a texting while driving ban, does that behavior change for a while?
You're correct in saying that human behavior is interesting, because it really, really is. And some of the research that has been done, not my own, but, you know, across the board, it's interesting because a lot of people appear to be supportive of the cell phone use while driving laws, but they in themselves will report that, well, I did use the phone to text or to call someone. So there's this nuance of, I support the law and the legislation, but I do commit the behavior as well. So it's this weird balance that we do see in the traffic safety literature.
It is interesting to many of us that Arizona is one of only three states that doesn't have a real blanket law when it comes to this, when it comes to texting while driving. Was there a cluster of states that sort of did it all together 5 years ago or something like that?
Yes, there was an explosion of legislation. And yes, it's usually when one state does it, its neighbors typically do. So I would say within the past 5 years, I would say off the top of my head, there was probably 70 laws passed.
When it comes to the idea of a distracted driving law, based on how people do behave, based on how people drive, based on enforcement capability, based on a distracted driving law, if a state has that, is there a reason to think that it makes sense to have a specific texting while driving law?
I can tell you that from the officers that I interacted with as part of the study, most of them felt that having a broad law was helpful to them to enforce. Sometimes they felt that texting laws, and it depends on how the state law is written, that sometimes they can be too restrictive, because the issue is, how can you differentiate what somebody's actually doing on their phone? Because if you think about all the things you do on your phone in a day, you know, we use them as alarm clocks. We use them as GPS units. We use them to call people. We use them to text. We use them for entertainment. Sometimes the way the laws are written, it's extremely difficult when the law says you cannot send a text-based message. What does that include? Does that include applications that are on the phone? Mm-hmm. And that becomes very challenging. And in a court of law, that's even more difficult to prove. So based off of the officers that participated in the study that I conducted, they felt that it was better for them to have something more broad.
Tony Rudisill is an assistant professor at West Virginia University, and you're listening to the show.